A coalition trying to help kids in Milwaukee learn to read is accusing the Department of Public Instruction of refusing to provide funding. It's Tuesday, June 9th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the president of Wisconsin's largest mosque has been in immigration detention for months, and supporters are still calling for his release. And we'll hear from the author of a book on an iconic alternative band from the 80s that got its start in Wisconsin.
They had instruments that were made to play on the street, and the fact that they spent so much time playing on the street, I think, is part of the reason the band works so well.
Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio stays connected with the whole state. Thanks to its network of 8 bureaus, with reporters on the ground across Wisconsin, WPR provides a news service that connects with issues that matter to your life. Stay in touch with WPR.
Members of the Milwaukee Reading Coalition say the Department of Public Instruction has reneged on a promise to help fund an initiative to train teachers in early literacy. Corrine Hess reports the project is now in jeopardy.
The Milwaukee Reading Coalition includes public and private schools and businesses and philanthropic leaders. DPI says state law prohibits the agency from giving reading funds to the coalition. But longtime education leader Howard Fuller believes DPI has misled the group.
This is DPI finding a way not to help Black children in the city of Milwaukee.
A DPI spokesperson says improving literacy outcomes and closing achievement gaps for all Wisconsin students, especially in Milwaukee, remains a top priority for the agency. Fewer than 10% of third graders in Milwaukee's private and public schools are reading at grade level. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The president of Wisconsin's largest mosque has been in immigration detention for more than 2 months, and his attorneys say he's lost 30 pounds during that time. At a hearing in federal court yesterday, lawyers for Salah Sarsour argued that his medical needs as a diabetic have been ignored while in detention. They also say his religious needs as a devout Muslim have not been accommodated. Sam Cole is chief immigration litigation counsel for the ACLU of Illinois, which is supporting Sarsour's case. They're arguing that Sarsour is being illegally held because of his pro-Palestinian activism.
It is definitely part of a pattern by this government of pursuing immigration cases against people whose advocacy, whose beliefs, whose activism this government doesn't like.
The Department of Homeland Security has alleged that Sarsour, who was born in Ramallah, lied on his immigration paperwork. They argue that Sarsour has received food and medicine that he needs, along with a prayer rug, Quran, and space to pray 5 times a day. A projected decline in Wisconsin's working age population means the state will need to build fewer homes than previously expected. That's according to a new report from the Wisconsin Counties Association. In 2023, the association projected the state needed to build 140,000 housing units by the end of the decade to meet current demand. Now researchers say that number is down to around 84,000. They lowered the estimate because the state's working age population is set to shrink faster than previously expected. The report argues building more housing could help retain younger residents and attract new ones. Brad Boykes is with the Wisconsin Builders Association.
We see this as further proof that, you know, we can't take the foot off the gas, and that is we need to continue to build.
The report says that building just enough homes to match demographic trends could make it harder to grow the state economy. Stores that accept federal food assistance will soon be required to stock more foods as part of the Trump administration's push toward healthy eating. As WPR's Hope Kerwin reports for Harvest Public Media, the change will make it harder for retailers in rural areas to participate.
Debbie Hart operates a gas station and convenience store in northern Wisconsin. With no grocery store in town, she tries to keep food stocked for her neighbors, including the many who receive help from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. But Hart says it's a challenge to get suppliers to come to her store, and there's often not enough demand for perishable items like apples or celery.
They'll just sit and we just watch them rot.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture will require SNAP retailers like Hart to carry twice as many varieties in each food group and more types of perishable items starting this fall. Advocacy groups worry the change will mean fewer convenience stores and dollar stores will accept SNAP, making it harder for people in rural food deserts to use their benefits. I'm Hope Kerwin, Harvest Public Media.
2 decades after a cancer-preventing vaccine was approved, the rate of Wisconsin teens getting the shot is lower than the national average. HPV is a sexually transmitted virus that's incredibly common. Years after an infection, it can lead to cancer of the cervix, throat, and other areas. Dr. Megan Yanni from UW Health says the HPV vaccine has led to a dramatic decline in both infections and cancer rates. Only 53% of Wisconsin teens completed the vaccine series before adulthood. And Yanni says the state's doctors need to prioritize talking to kids and their families about the shot.
I think we can just do a better job of making sure we're doing it every single time, every family, and really promoting this because it is such an incredible thing.
She says she hopes recommending the shot at an earlier age will emphasize its importance in preventing cancer instead of having it tied to sexual activity. Coming up, the Violin Femmes are icons of the 80s alternative music scene. According to an author of a book about the band, they got their start busking on the streets of Milwaukee. Stay with us.
It's easy to connect with WPR through our website, WPR.org. Click on About WPR to give us your feedback, send in news tips, or contact our staff. Join one of our online communities through Facebook or subscribe to a program podcast. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
And finally, before the Violin Femmes became a world-famous band with a multi-platinum record, they got their start playing on the streets of Milwaukee. They self-funded their first album recording in Lake Geneva, and it went on to sell more than 7 million copies. The Violin Femmes and their self-titled debut album are the subject of the latest book in the long-running music book series called 33 and a Third. The author, Nick Brown, spoke with Rob Ferret on WPR's Wisconsin Today.
A big part of the story you tell in your book about the Violin Femmes and their first album is that they kind of defy categorization in a lot of ways. For people who haven't been introduced to the Violin Femmes somehow at this point, how do you try to describe their music to them?
They occupy this overlapping realm of folk, punk, and jazz, which I call a Bermuda Triangle for anybody. But they pull it off, for the most part, because their songs are so great. Gordon Gano, the primary singer, songwriter, he had this incredible collection of songs when the band formed. And they're so well put together that they could have worked in any setting, really. But the Violin Femmes themselves had one of the most unique arrangements of instruments possible. And that's the biggest surprise for people when they... mostly when they see the Femmes. A lot of what's most unusual about them is often invisible on a recording. But they're a one-of-a-kind band, and their debut record is a one-of-a-kind record. It didn't sound like anything else then, and it still doesn't sound like anything else today.
In 2015, I talked to bassist Brian Ritchie here on WPR about why their unique sound made life difficult for them. Here's a listen to what he had to say.
Well, we were on the sidewalks because the clubs didn't want anything to do with us. They didn't even think that we were not even related to rock music.
And so you write, their early days, they were literally playing on the streets. Tell us a little bit about the Violin Femmes and their early public performances.
You know, as Brian mentioned, they had a hard time getting gigs. They busked, and they had instrumentation that made it easy for them to do this. And this is by design, too. So Victor DiLorenzo, the drummer, played standing up with brushes with just a snare drum and then what he calls a transophone, which is a metal bushel basket placed on top of another drum. Gordon would play guitar on the street, usually, you know, an acoustic guitar. And then Brian Ritchie would play an acoustic bass guitar, which to most people sounds like stand-up bass, like what you'd see in a jazz trio. But it looked more like a mariachi-style bass. So they had instruments that were made to play on the street. And the fact that they spent so much time playing on the street, I think, is part of the reason the band works so well. There are few performance spaces less forgiving than a street corner in Milwaukee. And they honed this act on the street corners so that they could make their songs work in that setting. And because of that, when they finally got into the studio to record their debut album, they were a really well-oiled machine, despite the fact they hadn't spent much time on actual stages.
Right. If I were writing the movie, I would say, okay, then the record came out and it was a smash hit right away. But hang on. It took 4 years to go gold, another 4 years to go platinum. I remember discovering it, or it being discovered and handed to me in the 80s on a copied cassette. Yep. How did this thing go viral in, you know, that pre-internet era?
Yeah. Part of it is what you described exactly, which is young people connecting with the songs and sharing dubbed cassette tapes. So right now, they say this album has sold 7 million copies. And I say, you need to ask Maxwell how many blank tapes they sold between 1983 and 1991 and just, you know, add in about 30% of that, because a lot of people don't know what the album cover looks like. I had a guy at a reading recently tell me, that isn't the album cover that I'm looking at. He was looking at the record. He said, the album cover is whatever guy's handwriting wrote Violent Femmes on my blank tape. And so it was a real organic word of mouth build over 8 years. But when the record came out, there was not a lot of interest in the States. They went to Europe. And when they came back, there were a couple college radio stations that started playing it quite a bit. And that's where the first spark in the U.S. sort of started. It was in college radio. And then it just kept spreading and still is.
That was author Nick Brown speaking to Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret. You can hear the full interview at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. And just enough time for a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. A heat advisory in effect from noon today until 8 tonight for Burnett, Washburn, and Sawyer counties. High temperatures in the 80s today with lots of humidity expected and spotty showers from time to time. Increasing chance for rain overnight with lows in the 60s. Even warmer tomorrow with highs in the 80s and 90s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk to you again soon.